From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Always Dreaming with a 2.5 length lead of 16th to go. Looking at Lee is second. Then comes Battle of Midway, Classic Empire. They're coming to the line, and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
But there's 100 yards left. And Gunrunner with Gusto in the Stephen Foster Wins for Fun.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Kasakwi strikes the lead at the eighth pole. It's Kasakwi in front and opening up now. Chocolate Ride battles on Bondurant and Conquest Panthera down to the wire from off the pace. It's Kasakwi.
Here on the far outside is Good Samaritan in his dirt debut, and he's charging in the center of the track. He's gone by them all. Good Samaritan has taken the lead, and he's pulling away. Good Samaritan has won the Jim Dandy.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Hello again, everyone, and a very pleasant good morning. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, with you on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and happy to have you tuning in coast to coast on Sirius 219, XM 206, and everyone streaming us worldwide at horseracingradio.net and tuning in on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, across the country. What a morning it is, and you think about all of the things happening in the world of thoroughbred racing now post-Saratoga, and you turn your attention to the road to the Breeders' Cup. You also turn your attention to many of the major horse sales taking place throughout the Bluegrass this week and into the following week. And that's why we are broadcasting from Fasig Tipton this morning, because Fasig hosting their inaugural turf showcase sale, which begins tomorrow, 4 p.m. right here in Lexington. And it's an interesting sale. It's a sale consisting of yearlings, which appear to be best suited for the grass when you look at their pedigrees and their conformation. They have what Fasig Tipton is calling turf appeal. JT, I love that phrase.
Yeah, turf appeal is fantastic. I love turf racing, as you know. It's my favorite kind of racing, and I've been looking forward to this sale just to see some of these babies. They're hand-picked for the grass, and we'll see what happens.
We are broadcasting from the Woodbine Room here at Fasig Tipton. This is a gorgeous room. The wood, you commented on this earlier, Jude, it almost looks like we're sitting inside of a bourbon barrel with the wood that's on the walls and the ceiling. It's just absolutely spectacular. And Woodbine, the title sponsor of this year's Turf Showcase sale. So we want to welcome everybody from Woodbine. We're going to hear more from our friends at Woodbine as we move throughout the program. But what a sale this is going to be, and a great concept.
Yeah, it is. It's very unique, and as I mentioned, I've been looking forward to it for a long time. Woodbine, of course, a natural sponsor, because Woodbine has that beautiful turf course.
Yeah, E.P. Taylor.
I sent out photos during the Queen's Plate of how lush the grass is. I mean, it's an actual grass course. We see grass courses all over the United States, and some of them are painted green, and some of them have thin grass. And the thing about Woodbine is their grass course is on the outside. It's the feature of the racetrack, and it's huge, and it is actually grass, which is so unique in our sport.
We described it when we were there for the Queen's Plate earlier this year as something that looked more like you're at Augusta National than at a racetrack, because it is so well manicured. And you're right, they are the perfect sponsor for a turf showcase sale such as this. They're going to host several major graded stakes on the turf at Woodbine, including next weekend when they run the Grade 1 Rico Woodbine Mile. They'll have the Grade 1 Northern Dancer, and, of course, the Grade 1 Natalma is all part of that program. Three Breeders' Cup winning year-in races at Woodbine, all on the grass next week. And that's why they are a great sponsor for this particular sale.
Yeah, it just really fits nicely, and especially the week before they have such a big weekend of racing. But there's lots of reasons to like Woodbine. We always enjoy our trips up there. They have a fabulous staff. You get treated like a king. And, you know, there's a lot of things to do in the town in the evening. So there's lots of reasons to go to Woodbine, and that's why we always encourage our listeners to do so.
Well, Fasig Tipton, not the only show in town on the sales scene these next couple of weeks here in Lexington, because the 74th Keeneland September yearling sale is going to begin on Monday. That's the first of 13 sessions with Book One, beginning at 3 p.m. on Monday afternoon. It continues through September 23rd. A total of 4,139 yearlings have been cataloged for that marathon sale. And we're going to talk with so many of the different consigners that will be represented there and, of course, here at the Fasig Tipton sale.
Yeah, it's interesting how they split their horses up. I'm really dying to find out if they, you know, kind of highlighted horses for this sale that ordinarily would have been in the September sale at Keeneland. It's a new venue, so do they dip their toe in the water or do they go full bore? I mean, it's going to be interesting to talk to them and see what the strategy was behind where they placed their horses.
Last week we wrapped up our Saturdays at Saratoga broadcast series, all presented by our friends at visitbarbados.org. And we want to thank Petra Roach and the team with Visit Barbados for making that possible. Also want to say some thank yous to Darren Miner and Tom Quinones, Donnie Tail for all of his work with our internet connections there and our setup. Eric Bishop and Andy Cohen with Sunrise Stallions. They were the title sponsor of our Traverse Stakes broadcast. And all of our sponsors who helped make that series a success again this year, we can't thank you enough. And, of course, all of our listeners who took the time to tune in throughout Saratoga. It was a wonderful experience for us, and we can't wait to get back there again next year.
Yeah, it was also cool, all the people that stopped by the location to say hello and tell us that they listened. And then, of course, EquestriCon, too, we had a lot of people there stop by our booth and get a little swag give us a pat on the back and say, thanks, guys. It was really, really cool.
With that said, our poll question today, I'm going to kind of steal the poll question from the Big A and Express Bet Radio from earlier this week, because I thought it was a great poll question, and I wanted to use it here on the Equine Forum as well. Which horse impressed you most during the 2017 Saratoga meet? That's our poll question, and we're going to give you three selections, actually four if you count the last one that's other, but you can vote for Gunrunner, who was ultra impressive, Lady Eli, can't take anything away from her, and Voodoo Song, who rattled off four victories at the meet, including that grade three at the end of the meet. And the fourth selection will be Other. And if you choose Other, please let us know which horse you thought was the most impressive at this year's Saratoga meet. And you can do that right now at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. All right, going to tell you what's ahead over the next 2 hours here. But before we do, we want to let all of our listeners in the Florida area and even above Florida there and into the states above Florida, we are thinking of you this morning. Be safe. We know we have so many listeners in the state. Do everything you can to be safe and be careful down there with Hurricane Irma bearing down later today.
Yeah, it's a tough situation for a lot of people, and we've seen the devastation in the Caribbean already, and we have a little bit better infrastructure in the United States, so hopefully it won't be as bad, but there's going to be some areas that are tremendously affected.
Yeah, our thoughts, our prayers with you. Please be safe as you dodge that hurricane coming through later today. All right, coming up on today's show, we're going to spend some time talking with several consigners who are selling both here at the Fasig Tipton Turf Showcase Sale and at the Keeneland September Sale the next couple of weeks. You're going to hear from Heedley Bell of Mill Ridge and Tacoma, Conrad Banderoff, who is with Denali Stud, Michael Hernan with Gainsway, Brett Jones with Airdrie, and Chris Bakari from Bakari Bloodstock, all going to be for the next 2 hours. In addition, we will visit with Fasig Tipton's Max Hodge, and we will tell you about a couple of the ways that you can enjoy some great food when you're in town for these sales, as we hear from Billy White, who is the owner of the Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's, and Tony Ricci, owner of Lexington's premier steak and seafood restaurant, Tony's of Lexington. When we return, we will talk with Jonathan Zammit, who is Woodbine's Vice President of Thoroughbred Racing Operations. That's next, right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
Want to enjoy an exciting night of horse racing overlooking beautiful downtown Lexington? Watch as Kentucky's top standardbreds compete in the Kentucky Sire Stakes held at the historic Red Mile. The Kentucky Sire Stakes is a month-long culmination of Kentucky's leading 2- and 3-year-olds competing at the Red Mile to be crowned Kentucky's best trotter and pacer. Sponsored by the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, the Kentucky Sire Stakes Finals, Sunday, September 17th, First Post, 7 p.m. For more information, visit www.khrc.ky.gov.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080 or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Into Mischief is North America's emerging top sire, the world's leading 2-year-old sire in 2016, and America's leading 3-year-old sire in 2017, with his biggest and best crops still to come.
Golden Sun just keeps on going! Golden Sun will do it again for the big final! Practical jumps under the way of the champagne!
Vickers in trouble!
By Jack in the ascendancy light!
Into Mischief, standing at Spendthrift Farm.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario.
Hi, this is Jockey John Cork.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They turn in the Rico Wood by mile. Tipping comes up leisurely. Julien Le Barou looks around, joins full mast. Down the outside, Mordecaev. The real running begins. Trying to get a run as a rod. Tipping, trying to get clear here. Fighting down the outside, Mr. Owen is running on. Tippin in front. They have a furlong to run, and she has turned them away. And she is going to make this her own personal playground. Tippin, Tippin going on to win the Rico Woodbine Mile. Tower of Texas second, Boudicay at third, and fourth was Full Mast.
Robert Geller with the call of last year's Rico Woodbine Mile. Champion Tepin looking every bit the champion that afternoon. Of course, next Saturday you can watch and wager on this year's edition of the Woodbine Mile live from Woodbine Racetrack. That weekend, over $2 million in purses will be up for grabs, all highlighted by that Rico Woodbine Mile and the Grade 1 Northern Dancer Turf and the Grade 2 Canadian. And on Sunday, it's the Grade 1 Natalma and the Grade 2 Summer Stakes. That is three Breeders' Cup winning-your-in races over the weekend at Woodbine. Woodbine also going to be offering large guarantees in the Pick 4 and Pick 5, and will be offering 20-cent bet minimums on all pools that afternoon. For more information, you can visit WoodbineRacetrack.com, follow at Woodbine Racing on Twitter, and use the official hashtag, #WOMile. Well, Tepin is going to be offered here at Fasig-Tipton in the November sale, but before we get to that, we do have the Turf Showcase sale taking place tomorrow, 4 o'clock, and boy, when you think about Turf, you think about Woodbine, you think about horses like Tepin and Jude, that is why we are here, and that is why they are hosting this particular very unique sale coming up tomorrow afternoon.
And I was wondering, did Geller steal that line from Becker, or did Becker steal it from Geller?
What was the line?
The personal playground thing.
Oh, did he go with personal playground? I didn't even catch that in the call. Yeah, Becker used that for the Shadwell Turf Mile.
Yeah,
is that what it was?
I think
Makers 46.
Maybe Makers 46. I can't remember. Yeah. But I've heard that somewhere before. It's so unlike either one of those guys to use the other's material.
Yeah, but so. I guarantee you, neither one knew. I can guarantee you that. Yeah, pretty wild. Jonathan Zammit is here with us and looking forward to the visit. Jonathan in town from Woodbine. And Jonathan, the Vice President of Racing Operations with Woodbine, and nice enough to spend a little time with us here in the Woodbine Lounge at Fasig Tipton.
Mike,
good morning.
Morning, Mike. Gee, thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
How cool is this place?
Oh, it's beautiful. Like looking around, seeing this beautiful wood-lined room, that makes me feel like I'm in Kentucky, and I certainly am.
Is this your first trip to Kentucky?
It is, actually. So I'm really excited to be here. Beautiful state, beautiful scenery, and just being in horse country doesn't get better than that.
How about that drive into the sales grounds this morning? You come down the road into Fasig Tipton, and it's lined with those beautiful trees, and you have the brown fences along the paddock and the mist coming up, that little bit of fog. Just spectacular.
Unbelievable. And you see, you know, for me, you know, seeing it online and seeing the pictures, but it's nothing, it doesn't compare to when you see it live and you're here, and it's it really hits home. So the surroundings couldn't be beat.
Talk a little bit about Woodbine's involvement with the sale this year.
Sure. So this is a pretty unique opportunity for us and a great angle for us, because with this new product, specifically focusing on turf appeal, you know, Woodbine is really kind of gearing itself to be that premier turf destination. So we thought it'd be a natural fit with some of the investments we're making over the next couple of years, one being our second turf course that's going in the spring of 2019. We thought it'd be a great partnership with our friends at Fasig Tipton, who have been unbelievable in helping us put this together. They've been very accommodating, and it's such a great partnership that we've developed. So the angle is right, and we just want to let people know that if you're investing in a turf horse and you're looking to grow your stock for turf appeal, this is the Woodbine is the place for you. So, you know, it's all about just letting us people know that Woodbine has that E.P. Taylor course, our second turf course going in, some of the training facilities we have up at Woodbine with our turf training track and some of the other great amenities. It's a perfect setup. If you invest in that turf course, we want to see you up there.
Yeah, what a beautiful place to train a horse Woodbine is. I mean, it's so spectacular and wide open and lots of different venues that you can use, the regular training track.
That's
as
right.
Well. It's beautiful. So it really is a tremendous advantage to the trainers that stable up there to have a variety of things they can do with their horses on a daily basis, keep them fresh, keep their minds, going, and it's just fantastic. And we can't say enough nice things. Everybody is always so great to us at Woodbine.
And we appreciate that, and we thought this would be the perfect venue to just kind of spread that message and just let people know that, yeah, if you're investing in a turf horse, there's no better place than Woodbine to bring it up there and really start recouping on that investment.
You mentioned the new turf course that Woodbine will be putting in.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit more about that.
Sure. So, we recognize the appeal and the growing appeal of turf racing in North America. We have that E.P. Taylor course currently, which is, longest stretch in North America, mile and a half outer turf course. We wanted to build on that platform. So we thought to ourselves, why not put in a second turf course, capitalize on the growing momentum of turf racing, offer more turf races to our horsemen, and just really say, listen, you know, this is the place where you want if you're looking for turf racing. So it's going to be a great inner turf course. It's going to be 7/8 furlong. So we're really excited. It's actually shovels in the ground. Things are happening. So we're going to be laying the sod probably after next year's Queen's Plate, letting it take a hold, and they'll be ready to go in the spring of 2019.
Listen to you throwing all this racing lingo around, man. You picked up on it pretty quick. You're not a racing guy necessarily, but you come from a hockey background, right?
That is correct. So, I've been studying at night, right? So I've been making sure to brush up on my terminology and making sure I'm well acquainted with the terms of the trade. But you're right. I didn't grow up in horse racing. So
it's a finish line, not a blue line.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. So you're right. I do have a hockey background. I came from Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, which is the parent company of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Toronto Raptors, and Toronto FC up in Toronto, our three main sports properties up there, one being the Leafs, which is a really big property up into the city of Toronto. We're very hockey-focused, and we love our Toronto Maple Leafs. So for me, I'm a finance guy by trade, so learning the ins and outs of horse racing has been very exhilarating, a lot of learning. Sometimes I think it's like drinking through a fire hose, but still, enjoy the day to day, and have a great team up at Woodbine, and everyone has been very helpful, and it's just a great support network, and we're really just very passionate about horse racing. That's what we want to see up there. We want to make sure it's there for the long term, the sustainability of it, and again, just an overall gear towards providing the best product we can with the resources we have.
Did you come into horse racing cold turkey, or had you had an interest in the sport before?
I always was a casual fan. I always watched the big races and always took a liking to it. But I did come in cold turkey, so I'm not gonna make any bones about it. So just understanding the ins and outs and how it all comes together has been a very rewarding experience. But at the same time, again, you know, some days just taking a step back to make sure I fully understand everything.
What have you enjoyed most about racing now that you've gotten a little taste of what the sport's all about?
Sure. You know, as funny as it sounds, you know, I don't know what it is, but the appeal and the effort that goes into the surfaces of racing, right? And you know, being a fan, a casual fan, you don't really have an appreciation of how much the surface is involved in the outcome of a race. And being a track operator like myself, making sure that surfaces, whether it's our tapeta, our turf, or whatever, is at the, you know, the optimal level that it needs to perform at the highest level. That's pretty much you know, something that's really interesting to me. And you know, I have a new appreciation for being in the sport, because again, the making sure we have the best surface for our horsemen, for the safety of our horses, is something that's near and dear to my heart. Because you know, again, it's like hockey, right? If the ice isn't at its peak, then the players are not performing at their best. So I want to see our horses perform at their best. So I want to make sure our surfaces are always top notch and optimized at the highest level.
Talking with Jonathan Zammit from Woodbine here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jonathan, yesterday Woodbine canceled racing. Mm-hmm. A sad occurrence yesterday morning. Darren Fortune, 43-year-old exercise rider, died in an accident that occurred during morning training. Two horses collided. The horses, from what I understand, were okay.
Right.
Unfortunately, Darren did not make it, and sad news yesterday.
Just a tragic, tragic event, and I know my heart and the whole Woodbine family's heart goes out to the Fortune family, and we offer our deepest condolences in this tragic time. And it's just an unfortunate accident. And, you know, Darren was a true horseman, a very well-respected, very kind gentleman. And, again, it's just a tragic, tragic story. But, you know, our heart goes out to the family, and the Woodbine is deeply saddened by this very big loss to our family.
Yeah, very sad news, and our thoughts and prayers going out
for sure
to the Fortune family as well.
Definitely.
From everybody here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Only about a minute or so left before we have to move on here, Jonathan, and wrap up. But let us know what folks can expect moving forward here at Woodbine. I know the Rico Woodbine Mile coming up next week, the Natalma, all those Breeders' Cup races. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That's right. So, you know, coming into the back half of the year, we have our premier turf meet coming up with the Rico Woodbine Mile next week. So it's going to be very exciting. A lot of great racing coming up. And then in October, following it up with our big international Pattinson International race, another grade one on the turf. So, you know, September, October is really a happening time for Woodbine and the Woodbine family. And again, we're just trying to leverage our assets and making sure that we're putting on the best product possible. We are investing a lot in, you know, the customer experience, the guest experience on site. We're doing a lot of cool things that's going to, you know, attract people out from various backgrounds and various, you know, you got your families, you got your followers of their sports. So there's going to be something for everyone, and we're looking forward to just making sure everyone has a great time when they come out to enjoy the races.
Well, Jonathan, like all of our guests who appear on the program, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race.
Wow.
It's the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion at embracetherace.com, and we'll make sure we get that up to you.
Thank you very much.
Really appreciate it, my friend.
I appreciate you guys having me on, and thank you very much.
Yeah, congratulations on the partnership with Fasig Tipton, too.
Thanks, guys. Thank you very much.
Great stuff. Jonathan Zammit, Woodbine, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. When we come back, we're going to visit with Max Hodge from Fasig Tipton. He'll tell you more about the inaugural Turf Showcase sale right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Saturday, March 12, 1966, marked the end of an era in thoroughbred racing. It was Act 3, Scene 3 for a jockey who went out the way it was meant to be, a winner. That day was, without a scintilla of doubt, the singular, most moving, dramatic day in the long and most illustrious history of Fable Santa Anita Park. Indeed, there was more feeling and emotion than you could cut with a proverbial fork. Yes, more than on March 4th, 1940, when Pappy, the great old C.S. Howard campaigner Seabiscuit, managed to score a victory in the Santa Anita Handicap on what amounted to three legs and a veritable mountain of courage after coming out of retirement. And yes, more feeling than when Citation, thwarted first by injuries and then by his brilliant adversary Noor, in his indomitable quest to become racing's very first million-dollar earner, finally made it on a golden California afternoon in July of 1951 at Hollywood Park. Because, you see, on this particular day, the final paragraph was written to an unbelievable storybook ending of the single most extraordinary saga of a jockey in all of racing's legend, lore, and mystique-filled history. On this day, that paragraph was written in capital letters and finished with an exclamation point. The gentleman who's the subject of this story was born in England, came to the racetrack out of a Canadian coal mine. Compositely, his career included 32,500 mounts, 6,032 winners, and a legacy among racing aficionados that lives to this day. In his final race, he was aboard George Royal, a Canadian bred at that, in a final twist of irony, and he won the San Juan Capistrano Handicap with a ride that was a trademark of his uncanny talent and had stamped him as the riding great for most of the four decades as a saddlesmith. His final day in the iron, so to speak, was announced with dramatic suddenness. It was totally unexpected and was, in no small measure, responsible for Santa Anita's largest crowd of the season, 60,000-plus. George Royal, our subject's mount, had won the Capistrano the year before, but had gone unplaced in four starts during the 1966 campaign and was listed at nearly 7-1 with betting public at post time. This in spite of the sentimental attachment to the subject of this dissertation who was in the saddle. Most of those in the vast assemblage on hand felt this rider had chucked up his final victory when he booted home a horse named Chiclero in the fourth race on that day's card. And that victory had been scored in rather typical fashion for this little reinsman on the Bill Daly and then nursing his mount home to the wire. The camera and newsmen duly recorded that bit of history, which, as it turned out, was not nearly of historic import it appeared to have been at the time. In the Capistrano, something warm and gentle and dramatic of the ilk of the Frank Capra classics of the cinema was about to unfold. As our man got a leg up in the paddock, the enormous throng cheered long and loud, and many openly wept for the little man who had provided countless thrills for the racing public all over the country. The little man bit his lip to keep from showing the tears welling in his eyes. The display of heartfelt adulation literally unbounded and heretofore unseen and unheard at a racetrack. While the race itself, Bobby Ussery took plaque to the front to set the early fractions and was still in the lead and drawing away from his nearest rival, Polar Sea. But now Hillrise, who was the post-time favorite, and George Royal both commenced to move together from off the pace. Hillrise could not stay with George Royal's strong move, and as George Royal moved boldly toward the front runners in the brightly glistening late-afternoon California sun, track announcer Joe Hernandez got the crowd cheering and screaming like a clap of thunder with the dramatic unfolding of the race to the wire. George Royal was fourth, third, second, with only plaque to catch in the drive to the wire. With less than a furlong to run, George Royal came abreast of plaque, and those two raced right together, matching strides in a heart-pounding display of thoroughbred racing. In the very final jump, our subject was able to get his horse up to stick his nose in front of the wire, and a finish that left a huge throng absolutely agog. Our man came back to the winner's circle for the last time, dismounted, got on the scale, and began that long, last walk back to the jockey's quarters, amidst both tears and cheers of adulation for a true champion. He'd gone out the way the script should have been written, a winner. That man and the story of that race were the stuff of which Shakespeare's dreams are made. He was Johnny Longden.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Join us at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races on Saturday, September 23rd for the 9th annual Race for the Ribbon. Another stellar card in store. Seven stakes races worth over $600,000 and headlined by the Grade 3 $300,000 Charlestown Oaks. And proceeds from the evening will go towards the fight against breast cancer. The action kicks off with a special first post time of 5 p.m. Eastern. It's the Race for the Ribbon and the Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
Denali Stud, led by 2015 Farm Manager of the Year Gary Bush and Donnie Snellings, regarded as one of the best yearling managers in Kentucky. Denali has in recent years raised Grade 1 standouts Animal Kingdom, Taprit, and Her Eminency, while consigning Grade 1 winners Constellation and VE Day. Consistently a top 5 consigner, Denali has sold a $1 million horse at the Saratoga sale 3 years running and the sale topper in 2 of those years. Conrad Vanderoff and his father Craig continue the Denali tradition of attention to detail and raising and selling Saturday afternoon horses.
You know, it was right about 2 years ago at this time that a new restaurant opened on Main Street. And it's quickly become a favorite for anybody that wants the best steaks and the best seafood. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood. They were just named one of the best steakhouses in the nation by TastingTable.com, a very big national website. Why don't you give them a visit? It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood on Main Street. Tony'sSteaksandSeafood.com.
Power.
Here's the wire, and it's a photo finish that goes to Tonalist.
Passion.
It was Creator and Destined right on the wire, and Irad Ortiz raised his whip in victory.
Performance.
It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainesway Stallion Taprit, North America's leading sire in 2014, 2015, and 2016. Taprit has sired 23 Grade 1 winners, 20 yearlings to bring $1 million or more at auction, and earners of more than $116 million on the racetrack. Taprit's newest Grade 1 winner, Dream Dancing, stormed home to take the Del Mar Oaks. Other Grade 1 winners include Frosted and Ring Weekend, Phillies Sweet Loretta, Pretty City Dancer, and Time and Motion, and the winners of 3 of the past 4 Belmont Stakes, Tonalist, Creator, and Taprit. Look for Taprit yearlings at the upcoming sales. Taprit, standing at Gainesway.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships. You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
They've turned the corner in the million, and Gio Ponti has swept in front. Precious Passion is under pressure. Stutzfold is staying on the far outside just as well. Rallies now from out of last. Einstein is fourth. They're coming inside the final 16th. Here is Gio Ponti just as well as charging hard. Stutzfold is third. Gio Ponti adds the million to his Grade 1 collection. Gio Ponti has won it from just as well. Stutzfold third. Father back Sima D Triumph finish fourth.
Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff, back with you on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Our producer, Lee Delapina, is back in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. My beautiful wife, Michelle, on site with us here at the Fasig Tipton Sales Grounds in the heart of the Bluegrass, Lexington, Kentucky, getting set for the Turf Showcase sale coming up tomorrow. 4 o'clock is the kickoff time for that Turf Showcase, and it's going to be spectacular. It is a sale featuring horses with what Fasig Tipton calls turf appeal, and when you think of turf appeal, you think of horses like Gio Ponti, who will have several babies going under the gavel coming up starting tomorrow afternoon. We'll talk to Max Hodge from Fasig Tipton in just a moment, but want to tell you about our good friend Stuart Morris, who has been in the thoroughbred business for 30 years and started consigning horses on his own just 2 years ago. In that short time frame, he has already had one of his sales graduates, Malagasy, on the Kentucky Derby trail after winning the Grade 2 Rebel at Oaklawn Park earlier this year, and now has three 2-year-old stakes winners here in 2017 from his consignment. Tremont winner He Hate Me, a perfect 2-for-2 to begin his career. Undefeated Kelly's Humor, winner of the Ellis Park Debutante, and Pacific Gale, who took Monmouth's Sorority Stakes by 3 1/4 lengths. Those three stakes winners coming from just 65 yearlings sold by Stuart Morris last year. Stop by the Stuart Morris consignment at the upcoming Keeneland September sale to find your next winner. Well, Max Hodge is here from Fasig Tipton, and that is where we are this morning. And Max, thanks so much for having us out here again. Always a delight.
Well, thank you guys for being here. We're really excited about this new sale, and the activity that generated on the sales grounds yesterday was phenomenal. All the consignor feedback was that they were really happy with the not only the number of shows they had for their horses, but the people that were here.
You know, when this was announced earlier this year that Fasig Tipton would put together this new turf showcase sale, Boyd Browning, president of Fasig Tipton, was talking about there being no real set parameters or guidelines as to the type of horses that we're going to sell here because it's so new. So what types of horses are we going to see go through the ring?
Well, I think when you thumb through the catalog, you'll see that there is a genuine slant to the turf's side of the pages. And then when you come out and look at them, you'll see that we screen the physicals well, and you'll find a nice group of conformed yearlings that are ready to go on your breaking and training program and hit the turf races before too long.
You've got a lot of sires represented. Did you spend a lot of time going over the pedigrees of these horses and looking at the dams? What went into the selection process?
Yeah, I mean, the first part, there's a nomination process, so somebody will submit their horse for consideration, and we'll screen the pedigrees, look to make sure that there was some turf appeal on that page, whether it be from the sire or dam. And then we go out to the farms and actually physically inspect the horses, so we'll visit with them and make sure there aren't any significant conformation deviations or anything like that that would prevent the horse from getting into the sale.
Why a turf showcase? Has turf racing become that popular now where you said, hey, this is a niche that needs to be filled?
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the numbers, 40% of the graded races in North America are now on the turf.
Wow.
You see increases in the purse structure for turf races. You see tracks like Woodbine installing a new turf course before too long, Aqueduct putting in a new turf course. While the number of dirt races has contracted, the number of turf races has expanded over the last 10 years, and with these two new turf courses, you'll see it. Those numbers continue to rise.
Yeah, it's a great sport, turf racing. It's my favorite part of racing, actually, and it's kind of more international all the way around, which adds some intrigue to the races and to handicapping them.
I think that's part of it too, right? The international aspect of so many American horses now going and competing overseas where it's predominantly all turf racing, that kind of plays into it too, doesn't it?
It has. You know, the world is now flat. It's easier to get everywhere. It's easier to follow the races throughout the world. And you've seen the North American bred horses really perform well throughout the world, and that played a big role in it. You also see horses, sires that are retiring to stud that ran exclusively on the turf going to major stud farms now, and that's a segment. The numbers are going to continue to grow in this market segment, and it's a market we wanted to serve.
Well, it's interesting, too, that, you know, some horses, you know, we kind of pigeonhole, like Gio Ponti, for instance, you know, and he has the champion dirt sprinter, you know. So you don't really know. It's still horse racing all the way around, right? I mean, you could come here and get a champion dirt horse, even though he's got a turf pedigree. So it's kind of a unique situation because you've got, like, a jump on the September sale thing going on here. It's a little bit of a unique spin on what's happening in our world.
It is. It's something new. You know, a lot of people got excited, got behind it. We're very happy with the quality of horses they nominated to the sale and eventually entered. We're really happy with the numbers. And like you said, we wouldn't be surprised if there are a few nice dirt horses that end up coming out of here, too.
Yeah, Max, by the way, congratulations on the success of the Saratoga sale last month. Just a gangbuster sale. We were there, broadcast both nights again this year, and it's so nice when things fall into place like that. Well done.
Thank you very much. We were really happy with the results there, not only in the selected sale, but the New York bred sale, which saw records across the board. And I'm going to go ahead and stick my neck out there and say this turf sale is going to have records across the board.
Probably be the best sale ever. The best
I think it's going to be the best turf sale we've ever had.
That's Max Hodge with Fasig Tipton here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Look ahead, Max. What's coming up at Fasig Tipton? I know you're going to be heading to the Mid-Atlantic sale coming up pretty soon, too.
Right. We have the Mid-Atlantic Fall Yearling Sale on October 3rd, which has increased numbers. We've actually had to push that sale from one day to two. And then we head to the Saratoga Fall Sale, which has a lot of New York bred foals as well as some nice mares, most of them resident New York mares. So if you're looking to get in the New York program, which is extremely lucrative, there's a really good chance there. There were a lot of solid pinhooks that came out of that sale last year. A lot of money was made. So I would suggest you mark that on your calendar. And then we come back here for our October yearling sale, which has been pushed from 3 to 4 days. The numbers are looking like record entries for that sale. And then, of course, we'll wind up the year here with the November sale. And I think you guys saw yesterday we announced, or the consignor announced, the entry of Teppan, which we're extremely excited about. And then we'll wrap up the year with the Mid-Atlantic December mix sale, which was moved on the calendar from the beginning of the year to back to its regular December spot.
Yeah, Teppan, Catch a Glimpse, both part of that November sale. That's pretty solid right there.
Oh, yeah, we've got a few more left in the canon to announce, and got a couple of new commitments last night that we're really excited about. And
awesome.
A new consigner that will be selling those horses that hasn't sold at Fasig Tipton in a number of years. So we're, you know, that's a wonderful sale. We're very excited about it, and can't wait to get to November.
Well, Max, we appreciate all the support that Fasig Tipton gives us throughout the year. Of course, Fasig Tipton, the sponsor of our Trainer Talk show, which people can listen to every single Wednesday night, 6 Eastern on Sirius 219 XM 206. And, you know, you do so much to support us, and we really appreciate it. And anything we can do, let us know.
Well, thank you, guys. You all do a wonderful job and a phenomenal job for the industry as a whole.
Well, Max Hodge, like all of our guests who appear on the program, is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Thanks, my friend. That was your cue. Thanks, buddy. As he takes the headsets off. He thought we were done. You know what? We are done. Let's get to a commercial break. We'll come back. Healy Bell will join us. Billy White. They're all in the next segment. Stay with us. It's the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Castleton Lions, home to multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and blue-blooded sprinter Justin Phillip, who was recently represented by his first stakes winner at Belmont Park.
Down to the line, what a catch takes the Rockville Center over Morning Breeze.
That game stakes victory by What a Catch comes on the heels of Justin Phillips' daughter, Upset Brewing, putting in a strong runner-up finish in the $100,000 debutante at Churchill Downs. And while Justin Phillip continues his fast start, 7-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance.
And Sir Dudley Diggs from Amiz Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
Dreyfong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dreyfong's the leader. Dreyfong has won.
Gio Ponti and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery.
Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Arguably North America's hottest first crop weanling sire in 2016, Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince is set to once again ignite the marketplace with his first crop yearlings this sale season. A brilliantly talented son of leading sire Pioneer of the Nile, Cairo Prince is passing on the extraordinary good looks that made him the most expensive member of his own sire's initial sales crop. And he possesses the brilliance to give his progeny every chance for major success on the racetrack. Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince, a stallion star in the making. Think about it.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
As they come toward the top of the stretch, Artie Schiller's in behind horses. Whipper's there. Limehouse on the outside. Gorilla in behind horses. Luana's animal on Adorum. Nip and Tip. Artie Schiller right behind him. Gorilla trying to come through on the inside. Singletary is there. Limehouse. Major's Cast coming hard on the far outside. Horse coming through on the rail. It was stymied. The final 16th. Luana's animal. Artie Schiller's right on top of him. And Artie Schiller's in front. Gorilla comes up the inside and Whipper. Artie Schiller.
Tom Durkin with the call of that 2005 Breeders' Cup Mile. Artie Schiller, so impressive that afternoon, and he is part of that Grade 1 roster that comes from Millridge. And Millridge has had so much success over the years with the horses that they have raised and they have sold, and Artie Schiller right there at the top of the list. And Heedley Bell is with Millridge in Tacoma, and he's with us now here on the Equine Forum. Heedley, congratulations on all the success, my friend.
Thank you so much, Mike. It's a pleasure to be with you guys.
How is that for a little trip down memory lane?
I love it every time you do it. Thank you.
Names like Artie Schiller and Joe Haar comes to mind when you think about turf horses, since we're sitting here at Fasig Tipton with a turf showcase sale.
Hav de Grasse and a few others. Yeah, it's been quite a run.
Yeah, quite a run indeed. Talk a little bit about the consignment that you're offering here. It's a smaller consignment, obviously, than what we're going to see across town at Keeneland the next couple of weeks, but start with the Fasig Tipton Turf Showcase.
Well, Fasig's always progressive in their thinking about trying to find opportunity, and they put together this sale, and we tried to facilitate as well as possible. We have four yearlings by, we think, really promising stallions and Declaration of War and English Channel and the Promising Magician. So we've got a really solid group, here and then across town, it's, you know, it's really what you're trying to do. We've got some, 16 horses in the second book and, by really, really proper pedigrees on the dam side and proper stallions and proper individuals. So we're excited about this time of year. This is what we try to do.
What went into your, school of thought for selecting horses for this sale?
Fasig, they help you with the whole cause. You know, they were purposeful in identifying stallions that would suit this sale, and then they proposed these horses and working with them, and they're fabulous to work with. So it's a team effort, but they really were what initiated it all.
Heedley, what was your initial reaction when you first heard the news of this brand new sale?
I was hesitant. Mike, I wasn't sure. You know, when I think about 4,000 horses following this sale, I wasn't sure. And we still don't know. But I'll tell you what I have observed just since yesterday was the traffic and the enthusiasm, and once again, Fasig doing it first class has assured me more than I admit to have been thinking in the beginning.
Yeah, is this a void that needs to be filled when you think about all the turf racing that we have in the sport today?
That's the other thing, is that the emphasis on turf is really seems as if it's coming to light currently. The opportunities that exist, and they obviously identified that before others by trying to be selected and choosing these horses. Yeah, it all goes together. They always do a great. They got a great team that identifies athletes and work with you as consigners, and so again, credit to them to try to find a niche and see how it goes.
Yeah, I've been trying to get on that team for the last 10 years, but I'm not evidently not good enough.
Well, you've got your own qualities.
Thank you. I heard people, you know, that racing always has detractors, and you do something fun, something innovative, and people, some people don't like it. But I've heard people say, you know, I don't like the fact that they've pulled these turf horses out because my shtick is going to Keeneland and finding the turf horses amongst the 4,000. So now they're taking those horses away from me and highlighting them so other people have a chance to buy the turf horses that I would ordinarily find at Keeneland when everybody's looking for a Derby horse. So they're not going to fall through the cracks. And I don't know if that's good or bad, but I have a feeling it's probably good for people that breed turf horses. And with more turf racing, I think that's a good niche to have.
Well, the thing about September is that with the quantity and the time frame and all the hard work that goes into it, horses are going to fall through the crack. And they're, you know, not every turf horse that exists is over here currently. So there are plenty of opportunities still at Keeneland for any kind of horse. Fasig has just tried to narrow down a market here, a specific market that they found in their travels throughout the farms that they didn't have a particular niche. And this opportunity rose to their occasion, and they took advantage of it, and we'll see how it all goes.
Heedley, if I'm not mistaken, the first horse that you'll be offering at Keeneland where their September yearling sale is hip number 189, which is a Warfront filly, and a beautiful page on that filly, too.
Thank you so much. Yeah, and she's quite an athlete. She's typical Warfront in that she's well-balanced, really powerful hip on her, a proper pedigree on the dam side. And we weren't sure about book one, how it was going to work out. And we chose to really to focus on book two. And again, you know, this is always a moving target to try to know exactly the way to play, but we're really excited about the horses that we have in on the 3 days, really throughout the whole sale. It all trickles down, but we're really very, very excited about the athletes that we're offering. And the one thing I would like to emphasize, Mike, also, and Jude, is that this sale, it's fine what we have to offer, but from the buyer's standpoint, this is where you have to be. This is when you recruit your class, your team, and I can feel the energy. You know, since Saratoga really started off with such a real bang, I significantly feel the energy of people wanting racehorses, and the partnerships and such that are evolving, and the talent that these different partnerships, West Point, Eclipse, you name it, are putting together. It's so positive right now. And this sale, these next 2 weeks, are where you're going to find your athletes.
Well, speaking of positive, you've been involved with Horse Country for quite some time. And Horse Country had a booth at the recent Equestricon conference up in Saratoga. And that's something that Heedley has just gone over so well. And
thank
so
you.
Many people are talking positively about Horse Country. And just talk about it for just a minute.
Well, Horse Country and all sorts of initiatives, Mike. You know, it's such that we are evolving as an industry. And we realize, and I think it's true opportunity, we realize it's all about the experience. And that's what people want today. And racetracks like Naira, like Keeneland, like Del Mar, like Santa Anita, you know, they're offering that quality experience, and everybody gets it now. And it takes a little while to put it all together, but Horse Country is a similar initiative. And out of this industry effort, things like Horse Country evolve. And Horse Country is all about allowing people on the farms to let them experience where the horse begins. And let them fall in love with the horse. You don't have that opportunity at the racetrack. And if you go on these farms and you feed the mare some carrots and you see those babies, you're going to fall in love with the horse. And if you fall in love with the horse, that's going to drive you to try to enjoy this experience. And I really think the racetracks are going to start to do something similar. I would hope it'd be a model, Horse Country would be a model for the racetracks to grow something very similar on the backside, whereby it's not just driving around on the tram. It's stopping and talking to a Todd Pletcher, you know, every once in a while. Or all these trainers are willing to share their experience and let people get in the locker room and understand from where these athletes come and how they evolve. Let them feel it, and we can do that.
Yeah, well said. It is it's addicting when it gets into your bloodstream. That's one way to do it, and you can go to visithorsecountry.com if you want to learn more and book a tour and get a chance to see some of these outstanding horse farms. And as Heedley said, maybe feed a few carrots to some of your old friends, too. It'd be a lot of fun.
Yep.
Well, Heedley, as always, appreciate the visit. Been a lot of fun. People can come say hello to you. Barn number one here at the Fasig Tipton Sale and barn 43. Initially at Keeneland,
that
right?
That is correct. And you look here, Mike, I mean, we're sitting here at Fasig Tipton. Look what a job they've done to make this such a fabulous setting on a beautiful day. And it's exciting times here in our industry.
Yeah. I'll tell you, it smells fantastic. I've never been to a horse sale. I walked in, the flowers are just fantastic. Where are we? I mean, it's really fantastic.
Well,
out there.
That's because you're sitting next to Anna Sykes.
Well, if anybody can brighten a room, it's her. Right.
Talk about a rose between two thorns.
Oh, there's no question. No question.
By the way, Heedley may have the best radio voice of any guest that we have on, right? He's got that deep voice.
He does a great job.
Yeah.
Not a face for TV, though.
Welcome to the club.
Such is life.
Heedley, appreciate the visit. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, you will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, and you can embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Appreciate
it, Mike. I've been seeing quite a bit of that out there.
Yeah.
So they're making progress, too.
Yeah, they're doing really, really well.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, Heedley. Good luck at the sale.
Thank you all so much.
All right, and we segue now into our good friend Billy White from Jimmy John's, who is on the phone with us. He is out at the Keeneland sale, but he joins us by phone to tell you that, hey, if you're going to be consigning horses, whether it be here at Fasig Tipton or out at Keeneland, well, you know where to get your lunch, and it is Jimmy John's, and you'll have it really, really quick because they are freaky, freaky fast. Billy White, what's up, man?
Boy, what a great intro. Good morning, boys. How are you?
Good. How's
it going?
Can you
hear me all right? I'm going great. Going great. I'm sitting here.
I can hear you. I'll take a 14, a number 14, no tomato.
Hold on a second. Let me check. I know you're giving me a test. Let me check my menu. That's a bootlegger club, buddy. I got you covered. No problem. hey, can you, what was that hip number on that Warfront Philly? I've got a bunch of gift cards and some free sub cards. I might make a couple bids on that Philly. Was that book two? you think they might
book two, hip number 189.
Oh, my goodness. I can't wait to see that one go through. I bet that sounds like a nice filly. I don't think I'll get much bid.
Yeah, she's going, spectacular.
Yeah. So I'm sitting out here. A lot of people moving around here, Michael. A lot of action here at the barns, and I'm going to go say hi to a bunch of people, and thanks for the introduction. We're having a big week out here. You know, our Palomar store delivers out here, and my goodness, we've got hundreds of box lunches coming out, orders already in, and I'm going to go out and say I'm getting ready to hit the barn, say hello, give out some Jimmy John's cookies, and say hello, like you said, shake hands with Todd Pletcher if I see him, and say hello to some of the horsemen out here.
How do people order Jimmy John's if they want to do it at Keeneland or maybe even here at Fasig Tipton? How do they go about doing it?
Well, Fasig Tipton is tough. We're trying to get a store out there that's close enough to deliver to Fasig Tipton. Love those people. Love the events that we've been out and been part of out there. But we just don't deliver out there yet. So the Palomar store here is delivering to Keeneland during the sales. So it's our delivery areas are really dictated by timing. You know, Freaky Fast, we're called Freaky Fast for a reason, so we have to keep our delivery areas pretty tight. So we're looking forward to a time where we can deliver out to Fasig. Right now, we're able to get out to Keeneland, and really, you can call the store directly. That's the Palomar Center store. There's Malone's out there, and it's right off of Man of War. And Matt Morris is the GM, and the phone number is, can I give you the phone number real quick?
Yeah.
Okay, great. 859-523-6999. And we're starting today. We have orders coming out here in another hour. So, you know, happy to do it. These folks get out here at 4 or 5 a.m., and by 11 o'clock they're starving, and we get the, you know, we're running in and out of these barns. We will for the next 2 weeks, and we're happy to do it, tickled to death to do it.
And, Billy, congratulations in order two. You just recently opened store number 10 in the Lexington area, so 10 Jimmy John's locations for people to visit.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's a new iteration of our old joke. We now have double-digit stores. You have double-digit listeners. That's That's phenomenal. Yes, Mike, it's been a great run. And you and I have been friends and partners since the start, I think, since our second store. And we've been at it since 1999. And Lexington is a phenomenal place. And from the campus to the healthcare professionals to the horsemen and women, it's a fine area. And we're just tickled to death to continue to, you know, like I always said, we screwed up and made a business out of this. So happy, you know, just thrilled about everything. Yeah, and our new store is at Redding Road and Tate's Creek. So, you know, feeding the Tate's Creek middle school football team and doing a lot of deliveries out of that. And that's our 10th store, if you can believe that. So we're building a couple more, and those will be open soon here in Lexington. And we're you know, just been a great run and very, very fortunate.
Yeah, well, for more than a decade, Jimmy John's has been involved with this program, and it's just been an absolutely incredible relationship. And we can't thank you enough, Billy, for all your support. And, of course, now our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios, every single Woo-hoo! Time we're on the air, we get to run things through the studio. So, yeah, we appreciate it, my friend. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. And don't forget, next year's contract, that has to be the Billy White Shoes Horse Racing Radio Studio. We'll work on that when we negotiate.
We'll see if we can get that done.
Looking forward to it. Proud to be your partner and happy to be involved with HRRN. And I'm going to head out and check out some of these fillies and mares.
All right, Billy, we appreciate it, my friend. Billy White from Jimmy John's here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. He's going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion at Embrace the Race. .com And Jimmy John's extremely supportive of the horse industry. Billy is a former horse owner. He doesn't have any at the moment, but he's a huge horse racing fan, and they support horse racing. Make sure you support them as well, and give that Palomar store a call to order your lunches out there at the Keeneland sale. They will deliver it, and they will deliver it freaky fast. All right, we're back with hour number two right after we pause. 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Here's Cloud Computing going for the upset. Classic Empire Dixon. Cloud Computing draws alongside. They come to the finish together. Noses apart. Cloud Computing has defeated Classic Empire and the Preakness.
Heart to heart at the 16th pole, a length from Bala Bali, free rose. Farhan late on the scene. Bala Bali gathers in heart to heart. Farhan charging, but Bala Bali wins the Shoemaker.
Originating from our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Arrogate just not in the mood today. Arrogate will finish far, far back. And it's Accelerate and Victor Espinosa clear by 8-9 lengths here. Accelerate romps home in the San Diego.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two on this Saturday morning edition of the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, the Baroness, my beautiful wife Michelle, with us on site at Fasig Tipton this morning, right here in the heart of the Bluegrass, as we get you set for the Fasig Tipton Turf Showcase Sale, which begins tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Make sure you stop out. And, of course, then on Monday, you can head over to Keeneland for the Keeneland September Yearling Sale, the 74th edition, featuring 4,139 yearlings that have been cataloged, and 13 sessions beginning Monday, 3 p.m. with Book 1. 13 sessions.
It's a marathon.
It is a marathon. One person who is going to be competing in that marathon is Conrad Banderoff, the son of Craig Banderoff, and they are with Denali Stud, and they are loaded with their horses in Book 1 and beyond at this Keeneland sale. And Conrad, nice enough to spend a little time with us as we preview the Keeneland sale this morning on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Conrad, welcome, my friend.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, talk about those horses you're offering, and in book one. I mean, I say loaded, and that might even be an understatement.
Yeah, you know, it's a great lineup. It's fun to walk down this shed row and look at the sire power that we have and to know that they've got the female families to back them up as well. We've got two war fronts, one who is a half-brother to a Medaglia filly that we topped the sale in Saratoga last year for $1.45 million. We have a half-brother to Shackleford, Alamalibu Moon, four Tappets, really nice Ghost Zapper, and so a really nice Kitten's Joy, who's a half to Ticonderoga. And so, yeah, we're loaded for bear, and they have the physicals to back up the big pedigrees, and we're optimistic that they're going to be very well received by the market.
When you have horses of that caliber, do you get super excited when a high-powered buyer comes by a couple times and takes a look at them?
Absolutely. You know, it's still early days, but as the second looks start to come through and you can kind of see where the horses are stacking up and who's making the short list, that it certainly gets you excited. And, you know, you kind of get hopeful that what you think of the horse is getting validated by people who are great judges and, you know, obviously you have a high opinion of.
Conrad, I had the opportunity to visit with you and your dad prior to the Phasing Tipton Saratoga sale last month, and I know you were extremely excited about your consignment there. Just a tremendous sale yet again in Saratoga. Talk a little bit about that sale and what you're seeing from the yearling market.
You know, I think what we're seeing is it's going from strength to strength. We're seeing an increase in polarity. You know, people, they want the top class horses. And I think that this new format of book one at Keeneland is playing to that. You're putting the best product that we have available in front of the buyers. And so it's really playing towards that trend of quality over quantity and trying to give the buyers, you know, what the market's saying that they want. And, you know, we had a great Saratoga. It was our third year in a row of selling a million-dollar-plus horse up there, and it was our second year either having the sale topper or the co-sale topper. And that's something that we're very proud of. We take a strong group up to Saratoga. And it's nice to know that we've been selecting the right horses for that sale.
Well, your company is noted for being hands-on and for the tremendous care that the horses receive, and they always come to sale prepped to the nines. So that's a true feather in your cap.
Well, we appreciate you guys saying so. I mean, I think one of our strengths is our ability to have attention to detail and to be watching these horses, whether it's myself or my dad or our yearling manager, Donnie Snellings, and monitoring these horses, making sure that they're giving the best show for potential buyers every single show. And if they're not, changing something, whether that be the equipment or a different show person, we want to make sure that our clients have the confidence to know that nothing's slipping through the cracks. And if something is slipping through the cracks, we're going to do everything within our possibility to correct that and to give them the best chance to maximize the result for our clients.
Conrad, you've been working with your dad for just the past couple of months now since joining the Denali team full-time after graduating from the Darley Flying Start program and traveling the world with that tremendous program. Talk about your first couple of months on the job here. What's it been like, and what's been maybe the biggest challenge that you've had to face so far?
Well, it's certainly been a baptism by fire to start off with. You know, coming back in the beginning of July, having the July Horses of Racing Age sale as well as the yearling sale, there wasn't really much time to get a feel for the job. It was really just kind of diving head first and trying to immerse myself in the role as much as possible. And but it's been great. You know, my dream has always been to come back to the farm, and it's all I've ever wanted to do. So it's been a very fun 2 months back so far, especially with going up to Saratoga. That's always one of the highlights of the year. And a lot of it has been learning the horses that we're going to have, the 140 horses that we have for September, as well as getting entries in to November and So it's a busy time of year. It's definitely, you know, this is our tax season. So we are kind of nose to the grindstone. And I think I'm adjusting to the role as well as I could. And, you know, when I'm at the sale, a lot of my role is meeting with the buyers and again, monitoring these horses to make sure that they're giving their best effort and that nothing is, nothing is getting missed.
Conrad Banderoff with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Denali Stud is where you can find him. He'll be at the consignment starting, well, right now. You can go see him over at Keeneland and say hello and tell him you heard him on the radio here and tell him what a great job that he does and his dad and the entire team at Denali. Conrad, before we let you go, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle, as a guest on the program. What is it about this sport and, I guess the race itself? What is it that makes you embrace the race when it comes to thoroughbred racing?
You know, for me, Mike, it's the animal. I have a passion for horses, and I've had an affinity for the animal since a very young age. And I think the amazing thing about this industry is and horses is that they bring you in contact with elements that are, you know, pretty rare in life, you know, beauty, grace, strength, and courage. And for me, that's what I probably embrace the most about it, is just getting to be around these extraordinary animals, these extraordinary athletes. And, I love it. And even when I'm out here for the next 15 days, I don't really feel like I'm working.
Yeah, well said. We talk about these yearling sales being sales that feature the future stars of our sport. I can tell you Conrad Banderoff is a future star going forward on the sales scene too. Conrad, appreciate the time, and all the best to your dad, and continued success. Good luck at the Keeneland sale.
Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, and make sure to come visit us at Barn 5 at Keeneland.
We'll do it. Conrad Banderoff here on HRRN. you look at what they're going to be offering in book number one and throughout the sale, and you know, they told us in Saratoga that they were loaded for Keeneland, and they're loaded for Keeneland.
Yeah, well, you know, it's easy to talk about the book one horses because they're all fancy and all
beautiful.
That.
But yeah.
The whole catalog, you know, they have quality horses at every level. So, you know, not everybody has the, several million dollar pocketbook that you need for the book one horses. But you can find very nice horses in their consignment throughout the catalog, and it is a place that you need to stop in and take a look.
Well, if you're in town for the Fasig-Tipton sale or the Keeneland sale, you're going to want a nice place to dine, and there is no place better than Tony's of Lexington. And earlier I had the chance to visit with Tony Ricci, the owner of Tony's, and here's what he had to say about his restaurant and the experience that you will get when you stop in.
You know, we actually tried to schedule this interview for last Saturday's show, but your son Giovanni is a wide receiver at Western Michigan, and you were going to be on a plane flying to Southern California because they had the privilege of opening against the Trojans. And Tony, not a wasted trip. They gave him all they wanted.
Oh, they did. Up until 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, you know, just a couple mistakes, and that score was a three-point game all the way up until then. So they did give him all they wanted. They're very proud of all the boys, proud of Giovanni's roommate, who's the new quarterback for the Broncos. He did a fantastic job. Everybody did a great job. And I'm especially proud of my son. He was in there a lot of the first half, tweaked his foot a little bit. They kept him out the second half, but he's good to go for Michigan State this Saturday. So,
yeah, who on earth is doing their scheduling? Michigan State following USC? That's a brutal two games to open the season.
You know, they've done that the past 3 years. Giovanni's first year was Ohio State and Michigan State. Last year was Northwestern and Illinois. And then this year was USC and Michigan State. So I don't know who's next year.
Well, it'll be fun to watch them tackle the Spartans coming up tomorrow. Let's talk about what's happening here in Lexington, because so many of our listeners are going to be making their way to the Bluegrass. And when they do, we want to encourage them to visit your restaurant, Tony's of Lexington. And I know that one of the key elements to your success is that every person that walks through your door is considered a member of your family. Talk about your philosophy and what's made you so successful, Tony.
Mike, that basically came from me growing up. I moved here to the United States when I was 9 years old. And for the longest time, it was me, my parents, my sisters and I, my uncle and my cousin. And so, we brought a tradition, our tradition, to the city of Cincinnati as far as welcoming people into our home, always having food at the table, and so on. So the family aspect of my hospitality basically stems from, how I grew up being an Italian. We're very hospitable people, and it was just a natural instinct for me to get into the hospitality field, mainly in restaurants, basically, watching my mom cook all those years and cooking for us dinner at the table every night and conversations and things of that nature. And Italians, we start world wars at the dinner table and end them at the dinner table. So that's how important it is to us. So it's that philosophy that I try to bring into my restaurant. And you're right. You have to become part of the family. Life is so stressful, and people need to get away from life for a little bit, just a couple hours when they're out to dinner. And we want them to do it in our restaurant, have a great time, and just let go and just become part of the family with us.
Well, every time that I've been into the restaurant and you are there, you always make it a point to come up and say hello the minute we walk through the door. And if you don't see us when we come in the door, you come by the table to say hello. And it's not just us. You do it with every single customer that comes through your door. How important is it for you to develop that relationship and get to know those customers that frequent the restaurant?
Oh, Mike, it's very important. That's probably the most important thing. I always tell my staff, okay, as far as personality is concerned, I always tell my staff, I can fix a bad steak, an undercooked steak, overcooked steak. We can fix that. We can fix a bad drink or a mix-up, a bottle of wine and so on. Those are all things that I can fix. I cannot fix their personality. That was up to their mom and dads to do. So we have to be so personable with our guests, because they are the ones that basically are paying our bills, to be perfectly honest with you. So I do make a point of approaching every table. I want to know their feedback. I seriously want to know their feedback, good or bad. Some of my best relationships have been people that have actually had not that good of an experience in our restaurants, because they gave me an opportunity to make it right. So part of that getting to know the people that are coming into my restaurant is to, A, to make sure that they're having a great time and we want them to have a great time, and B, in case there's something that may not be right, we want to know. We're going to make it right, and they'll feel different about us, and we have just gained a new friend for life.
Yeah, talking with Tony Ricci, the owner of Tony's of Lexington here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Tony, when people think about Kentucky, especially Central Kentucky, they think about the University of Kentucky, they think about horses, and they think about bourbon. Maybe not necessarily in that order, but those are the three key elements to being a Central Kentuckian. Talk about the support that you've received over the years from the horse industry. Many of our listeners have told me how much they've enjoyed their experience at Tony's.
Oh, my goodness. First of all, I have to say humbly that I am so privileged to have had the opportunity of opening up right in the heart of Lexington. Like you said, bourbon, University of Kentucky, and horses. And I don't think any of those are one, two, and three. I mean, they are all important to that state. But the privilege that I've had of opening up and the way that we have been received, Mike, as a restaurant, as people working to please our guests and so on, just the way that we have been received, it has been the most humbling experience for me that I've ever had in my 57 years of life, to be perfectly honest with you. I'm coming into a city. I'm actually no one. I'm not a celebrity. I'm not anyone. And I'm at a higher price point than everybody else. And I'm saying, okay, is this going to go? These are the things that were going through my mind 2.5 years ago. I knew I had the food. I knew I could get the service. But the overwhelming support that we have had from everyone, especially the horse people, they are coming in and they are being themselves. They are just enjoying steak. They'd like to eat. They'd like to entertain. It's such a humbling experience. I can't I don't have words for it, to be honest with you. And that is the honest to God's truth.
You know, as much as you pride yourself on being hospitable, and you talked about that earlier in the interview, Tony, the one thing that brings people back to a restaurant is having food that is consistently excellent. I don't know what the secret is, my friend. I don't want you to give it away on the radio. You have been able to achieve that year in and year out. What's the key to providing this food and making it so good consistently?
Lots of kudos, Mike, has to go to my chefs and my managers. My chef, his sous chefs, the kitchen staff, my managers, and his staff. When people buy into a philosophy that if something does not look right, you don't serve it, when they buy into that philosophy, you are guaranteed to get something that is consistent all the time. And my staff knows, if it's not right, I'd rather eat it rather than to give it to someone who is paying the tab. So it's that philosophy that people are buying into. Then you have great people, my chef Thomas, my manager Dave, Kelly, the assistant manager there, the sous chefs. They have just bought into this, and they're proud of the food that they are serving. They know that they are serving a quality product, and they want to make it right. When you have those two elements, it's easy to become consistent. Then you back up before the product is even being cooked, and then your specifications on the product that you're getting and making sure that your purveyor is doing what he's supposed to do, then things basically, you know, become a fine-tuned machine. And that's the reason why we become so consistent so fast, and we're going to be consistent for a very, very long time. But it all starts with the people. You know that.
It is a dining experience like no other. The food is exceptional, and I would encourage you, when you come to town for the horse sales, if you are in the Lexington area for any reason, make sure you put it on your bucket list. Stop by Tony's of Lexington. They're right in downtown, right across from Rupp Arena, and you can visit tonysoflexington.com to learn more.
All right, coming up next, you're going to hear from Michael Hernan from Gainesway. Don't forget, still to come, Brett Jones from Airdrie and Chris Beccari with Beccari Bloodstock. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Join us at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races on Saturday, September 23rd for the 9th annual Race for the Ribbon. Another stellar card in store. 7 stakes races worth over $600,000 and headlined by the Grade 3 $300,000 Charlestown Oaks. And proceeds from the evening will go towards the fight against breast cancer. The action kicks off with a special first post time of 5 p.m. Eastern. It's the Race for the Ribbon and the Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
Beccari Bloodstock is consistently among the top consigners at major sales. Their recent success includes Grade 2 Gulfstream Park Oaks winner Salty and a $1.2 million session topper at last year's Keeneland September sale. This year's Keeneland Book 1 standouts include The Half-Brother to Salty by Candy Ride, The Half-Brother to Multiple Grade 1 winner Honor Code by Tappet, A Colt by Medaglia d'Oro out of the Multiple Grade Stakes producing mare Broadway Gold, and a beautiful Tappet filly out of the Stormcat mare Wildcat. Stop by the Beccari Bloodstock consignment in Barn 3 at the Keeneland September sale.
Want to enjoy an exciting night of horse racing overlooking beautiful downtown Lexington? Watch as Kentucky's top standardbreds compete in the Kentucky Sire Stakes held at the historic Red Mile. The Kentucky Sire Stakes is a month-long culmination of Kentucky's leading 2 and 3-year-olds competing at the Red Mile to be crowned Kentucky's best trotter and pacer. Sponsored by the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, the Kentucky Sire Stakes Finals, Sunday, September 17th, first post, 7 p.m. For more information, visit www.khrc.ky.gov.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
And it's Zatta and Bolt Doro. Bolt Doro's doing the better of the two. Bolt Doro strikes the front, and Bolt Doro's going to take the Del Mar Futurity.
Bolt Doro, the 2-year-old son of Darley stallion Medaglia Doro, continued the red-hot year for his sire by scoring in the Grade 1 Del Mar Futurity this past weekend. And that victory makes him your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Medaglia Doro sired one of the greats in Rachel Alexandra, who was Horse of the Year at 3 and the best 3-year-old filly since the 1970s. Medaglia Doro is currently the leading sire in North America by 2017 Grade 1 winners with 5, and also the leading sire by yearling average this year at 756,000. To learn more about Medaglia Doro and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They've turned it into a sprint for home now, and Lady Velour's hanging on. Stays in Vegas, breathes down her neck, stays in Vegas, gets the lead. Barley Sugar, Red Cap, Mocat in the gold colors, and down the center, here comes Decked Out with a big run too. Homeward Bound and stays in Vegas, Mocat Decked Out, flying down the center of the track, stays in Vegas, hanging on. Mocat has Harmonized with a late run, Harmonized flying late, desperate finish, I believe. Harmonized might have got up, Harmonized in a blanket finish. It's close though, stays in Vegas, Decked Out right there, and Mocat a close four.
Trevor Denman with the call of the Del Mar Oaks, and Dream Dancing getting the victory in that one. And we are here at Fasig Tipton on the Horse Racing Radio Network getting ready for the Fasig Tipton Turf Showcase Sale, which begins tomorrow at 4 o'clock Eastern Time. Make sure you stop out and take a look at all these horses that certainly have turf appeal. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four. Happy to have you with us, and want to remind you that you can follow us all the way down the road to the Breeders' Cup here on HRRN. It's easy to do. You go to horseracingradio.net and check out our Road to the Breeders' Cup broadcast schedule. Listen on SiriusXM and affiliates across the country, and of course, stream us worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Well, Michael Hernan is with Gainsway Farm. Of course, Gainsway not selling here at the Fasig Tipton Turf Showcase Sale, but they are selling quite a few horses across town at the Keeneland September Yearling Sale. They come off of a stellar performance in the Fasig Tipton Saratoga Sale, where Gainsway once again topped that sale, topping all consigners, and they are looking to do the same at Keeneland. Michael Hernan with us now on HRN. Michael, appreciate the time.
Good morning, Mike. Good to be with you. Beautiful morning here in the Bluegrass. We're busy showing away here at Keeneland. Barn 2, we expect an excellent sale. We've got really good horses right through the catalog. We're going to sell in and around 170 of them, and they're all important, and they're all well-positioned appropriately through the auction, and we look for a very good sale again.
Yeah, Michael, when you look at your consignment, especially the horses you'll be offering in Book 1, you see sires, the names like Ghost Sapper and Warfront and Medaglia Doro, Candy Ride, and, of course, the great Tappet, all of those horses going through the ring in Book 1 from the Gainsway consignment. Yeah, they just look great.
Sorry, Mike, can you repeat that question, please?
Yeah, no problem, Michael. I know you're busy there at the sale showing horses, but I was talking about the sire power that your horses have with Ghost Sapper and Warfront and Medaglia Doro and Candy Ride and Tappet. Just tremendous.
Well, he's been, you know, 3 years consecutive the leading sire in the U.S. He's a breed-shaping sire. He's still just a teenager. He's 16. He's had over 100 stakes winners, 22 grade one winners. He can get you a top horse at any distance, turf or dirt. He's had three Belmont winners now, and he's just the real deal. And he's been a wonderful addition to the farm. He's left his own legacy, and, you know, he's just a terrific stallion, period. And everybody wants to get to him. We do limit his book to 125 mares. I think that's important. Look after the horse and look after the clientele who are paying the stud fee of $300,000.
Talk a minute about your crew and what's involved in bringing these horses to the sale.
Jude, can you repeat that? I don't think I've got a great line with you.
Talk about your crew a minute and what's involved in bringing the horses to the sale.
I think I got the question. The sales crew we have together, they're consistent, uniform guys. We know them. They know their job. They take it seriously. We show these horses efficiently and to their best advantage. And I think we consistently do a good job at the sales. The numbers bear that out. We've got a deep client base, which has grown lately, starting with Anthony Beck, of course, off Gainsway, and with the Tappet Sire Power, and a number of prominent owners are now selling with us. And more importantly, the results are on the racetrack, and we're delighted with those so far.
Michael Hernan from Gainsway with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. He is busy showing horses at Barn 2 at the Keeneland September Yearling Sale. Make sure you go by and say hello and tell him that you heard him on the radio. Michael, before we let you go, you mentioned Tappet and his success. You also have his son Tapazar at the farm, and you have to be thrilled with the way that he has performed and his offspring have performed. Talk about Tapazar.
Tapazar won the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. He's out of a deputy minister mare. He now has some good progeny, American Pastime on the West Coast with Bob Hess. And then we have, with Todd Pletcher, promising three-year-old who goes to the Vosburgh next. And he had a two-year-old winning filly the other day for Brad Cox at Indiana Downs. And that doesn't sound impressive, but the way the filly won, Monomoy Girl, she circled the field, she came from eighth, she won by five lengths, and she goes for a stake next. And Tapazar, big pedigree, deputy minister mayor, he looks the part, he gets size in his stock, they need a little time, and they're making very good three-year-olds, and, you know, he's a promising horse, worth the money, and you're welcome to see him too. We like to show the horses at Gainsway between 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock. We do not show in the morning. The horses are out and we don't want to disturb them. So between 1 and 3 is a good time, and look forward to seeing you guys over here at Keeneland through the week. And I think we will have, I know we have some excellent prospects here to sell here in Book 2 to kick off. We, just looking at the list, we've stallions like Ghost Zapper, Warfront, Tappet, Hard Spun, Medaglia d'Oro, Candy Ride, beautiful filly here, number 63. We've got a top daughter, Medaglia d'Oro. And we have the only filly, only yearling in the sale, and she is a filly by Frankel. And this filly hit 95. She's a half-sister to champion two-year-old Hanson. So she's a special offering, and Frankel continues to emerge as a really top stallion, and she's just one of a very good group here in Book 1, Barn 2 at Keeneland. Next, please.
All right, that's Michael Hernan, Gainsway. Make sure you stop by and see the entire consignment. Michael, appreciate the time. We know it's busy, so we'll let you go. Thanks for being with us, my friend.
Great. Enjoy the racing and look forward to seeing you soon.
All right, good luck. Michael Hernan here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And, boy, doing a tremendous job. Go see him. Barn number 2 and several of those stars going under the gavel in Book 1 at Keeneland. We'll get to a break. Coming back with our good friend Brett Jones from Airdrie. Some big news to talk about with Airdrie. And Chris Beccari from Beccari Bloodstock. That's in the next segment right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interests and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
Multiple Grade 1 winner First Samurai by Giants Causeway got off to a quick start at stud, siring Grade 1 winners in each of his first three crops. His talented son, Lee, captured the Grade 1 Don handicap in record time and retired to stud with over $2.3 million in earnings. Sovereign Award winner Stacked Deck captured the Grade 3 Bold Venture Stakes and Grade 2 Kennedy Road Stakes, both just a tick off track record times. First Samurai at Claiborne Farm.
Zest Fabrication is Kentucky's only true fabrication shop and portable welding business. Family owned and operated, Zest Fabrication has built a reputation of success in several industries, including farm and equine. Working with many of Kentucky's most prestigious farms, Zest Fabrication provides top quality equine equipment, including paddock gates, stall yoke, Dutch doors, and entrance gates, and will even repair your current equipment. Visit vestfab.com to view samples and schedule your free estimate today.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Adena Springs Stallion, Fort Larned.
Fort Larned to catch, and they're not going to catch him.
The fastest two-turn horse of his generation, recording eight fires from 107 to 117 and nine Ragozins from 1 to 3.5.
And he's coming home, turning handsprings, Fort Larned. Brilliant in the Stephen Foster.
A winner of 10 career starts and nearly $4.5 million in purses.
It's nose and nose to the wire. Fort Larned has won it.
Fort Larned won the Grade 1 Whitney Handicap in a hand ride late with a final time of 147 and 3/5 before wiring the field in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic in 2 minutes flat, earning a 117 buyer, and then taking the Grade 1 Stephen Foster by 6 1/4 lengths in 147 and 2/5. First crop two-year-olds by Fort Larned have sold for up to $170,000. Classic Mr. Prospector Speed and Free of Northern Dancer. A superior racehorse. Fort Larned, standing at Adena Springs. Visit AdenaStallions.com.
Yo, guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
They're coming to the top of the stretch, and Cairo Prince and Luis Saez have taken the lead, and they'll turn for home in front by two. Almost Famous is next, Financial Mogul, Intense Holiday, Conquest Titan running a big one on the far outside, but Cairo Prince has run away. Cairo Prince and Luis Saez with an emphatic win in the Holy Bowl. And then it was Conquest Titan, followed by Intense Holiday.
Mike Penna, Jude Felt, back with you here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Larry Colmus with the call of the Holy Bull Stakes, and Cairo Prince, so impressive that day. It was a win that really made him the favorite for the Kentucky Derby that year. He is now standing stud at Airdrie Stud here in the Bluegrass, and we have the privilege of being joined by Brett Jones from Airdrie here on HRN this morning. Brett, welcome. Good morning.
Mike, thank you very much, dude. Thank you guys for having me.
You know, I'm kind of a little upset. I had that clip penciled in to introduce you and lead into the interview. And then right after I sent that to our producer and he got everything together, you announced that American Freedom is going to join the Stallion roster for 2018 at Airdrie. And I'm like, man, I could use an American Freedom stretch call.
Well, maybe we'll come on here next week again, and we'll just call an audible. But
congrats on the new Stallion.
Thank you very much. We're obviously thrilled. We just announced it yesterday, and I wasn't at liberty to say anything to you when we were on the phone yesterday. So my apologies. But he is a horse we've been after for a long time, and a horse we couldn't be more excited about. He was. On the racetrack, he was right there with really the best three-year-olds of that year, I think. As Dad said in the release, he has to be in that conversation with the best sophomores that there were last year. He was right there with Nyquist and Exaggerator. He beat Gunrunner both times that he raced him. So the talent was never a question, and thankfully we were able to do a deal with Mr. and Mrs. West, who really see the breeding side the same way we do. They really want to put their money where their mouth is, get behind the horse. They've committed to breed 20 mares to him each of the first 3 years, which is an unbelievable commitment for a racing operation. And they believe in the horse, and we're going to do the exact same thing. We made the same commitment, and I think we're on a really good one.
You guys have such an uncanny ability to find these horses. I mean, your father's legendary for coming up with stallions that other people ignore, and then they turn out, you know, unbelievably good. And you've inherited some of that quality as well. Talk about that, and what's the esoteric way that you guys look at stallions that other people might miss?
Well, Dad, as you said, Jude, has been doing it a long time, 40-plus years of trying to find kind of the diamonds in the rough, and it really came out of necessity. When he first got into the business, he broke into the business coming in from West Virginia. He had no background. There was no family history of being in the thoroughbred industry. So when he first came into the business, he kind of had to zig when others were zagging, and had to find some stallions that maybe the big guys who had the larger resources would not be as interested in. And he found horses that represented value, but also found horses that he thought had real upside potential. And that's always been our formula. We've got to find horses that financially we can afford. That's a huge part of the equation. But also horses that, if they're given the right support, can get to the top. So, and we've been very lucky the last few years. Horses like Indian Charlie, Harlan's Holiday, that came in at that modest stud fee, that because they got the right support and they were able to really build on that and get up to the top tiers of the industry. So the formula really hasn't changed that much. And Dad is still, when you say that I've inherited, Dad is the boss of this thing and is still doing it better than anyone I know.
Talking with Brett Jones from Airdrie Stud here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You're listening to the Equine Forum. Brett, American Freedom is going to be popular with fans of Pulpit because he comes from the last crop of Pulpit. Mm-hmm. What are some of the boxes you're hoping a future stallion checks when you go through and you start looking for those horses?
Well, I think the talent has to be right there at the very top. You've got to show that you've got the talent that you can pass on to these offspring. And this horse had that, I'm sure as you remember, had a big reputation even before he set foot on the racetrack in the afternoon. So he was a big talking horse. He came out that first race for Bob Baffert and the West and broke his maiden going 7 furlongs, ran, I think, a 3/4 thoroughgraph number in his first ever start, which is pretty ridiculous.
Huge.
And even before that race, I went back and was watching some of the interviews. Even before he started, Baffert was talking about this could be our Haskell, Belmont Haskell horse. And he was. It came to fruition, and he was right there with really the best three-year-olds. And as far as with Pulpit, Pulpit is a gold name with what he's done with Tappet, with what he's done as a sire of sires, what a brilliant racehorse he was, what a brilliant sire he was. And I think the Pulpit was a huge part of the attraction to this horse. This, as you said, this is from his last crop. And when you combine a beautiful horse, which he is, absolutely gorgeous, $500,000 yearling, that kind of good looking, you combine that with the Pulpit, with the race record, with the athletic ability, And that's the formula. And that's why we went after him.
And the relationship with the West, they have a pretty nice horse running right now. It might be a good stallion too.
they do. They've got a heck of a good one, and they're going to have a lot more good ones. They buy a great racehorse.
Yeah, and so many of the other stallions at Airdrie off to a flying start. I mean, you think of a horse like Creative Cause, for example. You have to be thrilled with the way that his offspring are performing.
Yeah, he's had a monster last month, yeah. two months, and that's just what you want when your first crop are 3 year olds. You want to see that they're getting better, that the races get longer and more important, these horses are stepping up. And very much like the Giants Causeways, I think they certainly get better with age. Creative Cause was early developing himself, but his dam was a grade one winner as an older mare. So we're seeing these horses get better and better. He's had 4 stakes winners here in the last month. Pavel could be anything. And we'll be running in a grade one next. And I don't know if you guys covered the filly that Chad Brown has, but a filly named Significant Form that got taken down at Saratoga first out. I think she's a name to really keep an eye on, because she's a 2-year-old filly in Chad Brown's hands that everyone is saying all the right things about.
Talk about the patience required to have a stallion and how, you know, a lot of people jump the gun. Your dad's always been a really patient guy with his stallions, and if he believes that they're going to be good, he sticks to his guns pretty close. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, you've got to have patience, and you've got to have belief, and you've got to be willing to get in there those second and third years when the horse isn't as sexy anymore. I mean, the first year stallions, generally speaking, you're going to fill up and probably fill up pretty quick if you've brought the right one in. But it's those second, third, fourth years, and that's where we've been very fortunate the last few years and last few stallions that we brought in. A horse like Cairo Prince that we really loved, and we were lucky enough to partner with Sheikh Mohammed and Darley on Cairo. And one of the reasons we did that partnership was we said, listen, we're not only going to support him the first year, we're going to breed 30 mares to him in years 2, 3. We're going to go right back and do it in year 4. And so he's had full books. 148, 149 mares every year at stud, so there are no holes there. So anything that he goes on and does, there's not you're not sitting around waiting for that next big crop, because the big crops just keep on coming. So patience and being willing to show the support when others may not be there for you.
Brett, I know you and your dad are going to be busy selling horses here at the Fasig Tipton Turf Showcase Sale. You have a couple of horses set to go with a Kitten's Joy colt and a Divine Park colt. Then you'll head crosstown to Keeneland, and you'll be busy at the Keeneland September Sale as well. I got to ask you about the Divine Park colt, though. I mean, he's never really had a good grass horse, has he?
he might have as good as I've ever seen. She's been special from the start, and I remember you and I, Mike, talking about her before she'd ever gotten the starting gate.
Yeah,
and talking
about Lady Eli,
Lady Eli, of course. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. And this colt is the grass showcase was a good spot for him. Certainly everybody knows Lady Eli, but he's also such a nice individual. We just wanted to make sure everybody got a chance to see him. And with this sale, everyone that's walking through 2-horse consignment, they're going to see him. And if they don't like him, that's certainly up to them. We wanted to make sure they all had that opportunity, and we think he's a heck of a nice colt.
Well, Brett, we appreciate the visit. Good luck here at the sale. Good luck at Keeneland as well. And congratulations on American Freedom. And keep it rolling. Say hello to your mom and dad for us.
Will do, guys. You all are the best. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, Brett Jones.
Really appreciate it.
Airdrie Stud here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, he will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Chris Beccari going to join us here in just a minute or so, and we're going to talk with Chris about his stellar consignment through Beccari Bloodstock, which comes up at Keeneland, that September yearling sale beginning on Monday. The first session, 3 o'clock Eastern time, that's book one, and Chris is, we use the term loaded when we talked about Denali. Wait till you hear about these horses, JT.
Yeah, well, he's up and coming in our business. He's got some good horses on a regular basis now.
Yeah, he's had so much success. One name that comes to mind is Salty, who is ultra-talented, and she is a graduate of the Beccari program. And Chris is with us now. He's joining us by phone from Keeneland. Chris, good morning, and boy, what a book one consignment you're going to bring to the table at Keeneland.
Okay, I'll try to do them in order, I guess. We'll talk about Hip 86. and that is a half sibling to Honor Code. He's in a very extreme physical. He just happens to have a lot of pedigree, but he could be by a workman's type pedigree and people would still be landing on his horse. He's just a very, very good individual. We've been trying to buy into the family for a couple of years now, but they brought anywhere from $3 million to $2.4 million as a foal. So we were able to get this particular colt bought last November sale.
Wow, tremendous. Yeah, half-brother to Grade 1 winner Honor Code, of course, by Tappet. Also, if I'm not – I know you're going to go in order, so correct me if I steal your thunder, but you also have the half-brother to Salty by Candy Ride, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct. Very extreme physical by Candy Ride. Probably has a little more I'd say more – he's just a very good Candy Ride. I'll leave it at that. He just has a lot of look like his sister does, and that mare really throws a very predominant – look to all her foals. Very racy. Just we're blessed to have her because she's just done a really good job for us.
Well, I guess when you bring two Tappets to the table in your first few hips that you're going to be selling at Keeneland, you're doing something right because you have another Tappet filly, hip number 116, and she is out of Wildcat, and she really does look the part, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does. Same thing with her. She has a lot of leg for a Tappet. A lot more scope than your typical one would, and it just was a very good cross. And she just has a very elegant look about her as well.
How do you go about finding these horses? Do you go farm to farm, or do people call you? How does it work?
Yes, occasionally I do that too. I just kind of do it reverse. Instead of buying them as yearlings to be a racing prospect, I do it as a foal. You know, but I do go to a lot of farms. I have a lot of different breeders that I work with as well. Because sometimes I can't get the horses bought, but there's occasionally I'll do a partnership on a horse.
Talking with Chris Beccari, Beccari Bloodstock here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Chris, you know, you touch on some of the big names that you're going to have in your consignment here for Book One, but then you go ahead and you look at the past success that you've had. Grade Two winner Salty comes to mind. Last year, a $1.2 million session topper at the Keeneland September sale. What's the key to all the success? What's the philosophy?
I just try really hard. We try to go buy the best physicals I can possibly buy. I'm pretty aggressive about going out looking for foals and stuff. So and just you have to have a good team. You have to have good veterinarians that work for you. The staff at the farm is very good. It takes a team effort as well. You have to surround yourself with really, really good horses and really good people. And then hopefully you'll get really good success.
You mentioned looking for good physicals and standouts, I guess, athletically maybe, if I'm even saying that correctly. But how quickly can you tell if a young horse is going to have what it takes to make it as a successful yearling sales prospect?
I mean, there's just some of them horses and foals we walk upon, and he could be 100 feet away from you. Like, well, how much is this one going to cost? Because he's going to have to come home with us. Because that sometimes happens. We had a filly that we sold in Saratoga by strong mandate. He's a $10,000 stud fee. She was a very good filly and has a lot of female pedigree as well. But I had to give $270 for her as a foal, and that's on a $10,000 stud fee. Now, it happened to work out. I think she brought $825 in Saratoga.
You know, you had such a good Saratoga sale, and that's a selected yearling sale, a lot like we see with the early horses in Keeneland. How do you know what horses are going to be a fit in Saratoga and what horses are going to be a better fit for Keeneland?
Sometimes it's the individual, and sometimes it's horses that we like to showcase in different spots as opposed to having them all lumped together. There's occasions where we want to spread them apart. There are certain types of sires that work better in certain venues than others. But most of the time, it's just, to be honest with you, it's just showcasing. I'm going to showcase these set of horses in New York. I'm going to showcase this set of horses.
He's Chris Beccari, Beccari Bloodstock. You can find them in barn number 3 at the Keeneland September sale. And again, all those top pedigrees going under the gavel in book 1 and book 2. Chris is absolutely stacked with top quality horses. Go see him, barn 3, and tell him you heard him right here on the radio. Chris, we appreciate the time, my friend. Thank you for all your support, and we'll be cheering for you. Good luck at the sale.
All right, thanks for having me. Thank you.
All right, Chris Beccari here on HRRN. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, he receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. We'll get to one final break. We'll come back and wrap it all up for you. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Denali Stud, led by 2015 Farm Manager of the Year Gary Bush and Donnie Snellings, regarded as one of the best yearling managers in Kentucky. Denali has in recent years raised Grade 1 standouts Animal Kingdom, Taprit, and Her Eminency, while consigning Grade 1 winners Constellation and VE Day. Consistently a top 5 consigner, Denali has sold a $1 million horse at the Saratoga sale 3 years running and the sale topper in 2 of those years. Conrad Banderoff and his father Craig continue the Denali tradition of attention to detail and raising and selling Saturday afternoon horses.
Millridge, raising and selling racehorses. Millridge offers a quality consignment of athletes for the Keeneland September sale by leading stallions Warfront, Pioneer of the Nile, Bernardini, Union Rags, Candy Ride, More Than Ready, Spitestown, and more. Since 2000, Millridge has raised or sold 34 Grade 1 winners, including 8 Breeders' Cup winners, with multiple Grade 1 winner Oscar Performance the latest, and Sunset Ridge, who won her 4th straight at Saratoga in the Fleet Indian Stakes. Millridge invites you to view their Keeneland consignment in Barn 43 beginning Sunday, September 10th, and look forward to sharing these future Grade 1 winners.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir. Hello, boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Roger.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Roger.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Power.
Here's the wire, and it's a photo finish that goes to Tonalist.
Passion.
It was creator and destined right on the wire, and Irad Ortiz raised his whip in victory.
Performance.
It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz and the Belmont Stakes.
Gainesway Stallion Taprit, North America's leading sire in 2014, 2015, and 2016. Taprit has sired 23 Grade 1 winners, 20 yearlings to bring $1 million or more at auction, and earners of more than $116 million on the racetrack. Taprit's newest Grade 1 winner, Dream Dancing, stormed home to take the Del Mar Oaks. Other Grade 1 winners include Frosted and Ring Weekend, Phillies Sweet Loretta, Pretty City Dancer, and Time in Motion, and the winners of 3 of the past 4 Belmont Stakes, Tonalist, Creator, and Taprit. Look for Taprit yearlings at the upcoming sales. Taprit. Standing at Gainesway.
Hello, this is Bill Mott. You're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
Hey, don't forget that Blood Horse Magazine has been covering thoroughbred racing and breeding for more than 100 years and is the industry's only weekly magazine. If you want to follow the sport, the industry, well, there's no better way than with Blood Horse Magazine. And here's a special offer for HRRN listeners. You get 10 issues of Blood Horse Magazine and tablet for just $10. Here's how you do it. Go to bloodhorse.com/HRRN. That's bloodhorse.com/HRRN. And receive 10 issues for only $10. You can't beat that. Head over there now, bloodhorse.com/HRRN. JT, very busy show. We previewed both sales, the Fasley Tipton Turf Showcase sale, which begins tomorrow at 4 o'clock, and then the Keeneland September sale, which begins Monday at 3 o'clock. And it's going to be a busy couple of weeks here in the Bluegrass. And our thanks to all of our special guests for being with us this morning.
Yeah, it was nice of everybody to take some time and visit with us. And lots of dignitaries coming to town. It's going to be a busy couple of weeks.
And don't forget that sale presented by Woodbine Entertainment, another one of our sponsors, Kentucky Downs. Big weekend for them down there, too.
Yeah, 4 stakes today. Miss Temple City. Go, Miss Temple City. And tomorrow, Dueling Ground Oaks and Dueling Grounds Derby. So we've got the nice weather, and should be a lot of fun at Kentucky Downs.
Our poll question this morning, well, we asked you which horse impressed you most at the Saratoga meet, Gunrunner, Lady Eli, Voodoo Song, or other. Gunrunner, 58% of the vote. He's the winner.
Yeah, I voted for Voodoo Song.
I did too. Four wins at the meet. That's impressive.
Fantastic.
Really impressive. All right, our thanks to all of our special guests and for the folks here at Fasig Tipton and Woodbine. Our thanks for them being here, all the consigners we had a chance to talk to, and, of course, Billy White from Jimmy John's and Tony Ricci from Tony's of Lexington. For our producer, Lee Delapina, back in our Lexington studio, for my beautiful wife, Michelle, here on site with us for Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you next time on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And by the way, go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.